Oh, by the way, the next hour, somewhere, I'll wait probably just before the message. Sanjay's going to leave here with my laptop, go to the nursing home, and so my dad can be with us streaming video. There's been someone with him at every dinner hour because, you know, like he can't open the milk carton, or he can't. At first, he couldn't do the coffee. Now he's able to even drink his own coffee. He was drinking coffee with a straw. Oh, and I do want to say this. Sanjay also put one out that now that he's in a nursing home, we think, you know, the family was visiting him like mad at the hospital, and it would be more appropriate for anybody from the church to visit now that he's at a nursing home. But if you got any kind of cold, you don't. Please don't go see him. Because I realize, you know, Roy's getting over pneumonia himself. I told him, don't go see Dad. Yeah, so think about that. Okay, we're studying the last of the series on the seven mysteries of Paul, which all center around the age of grace. And let's see, how do we actually label this one? We called it the mystery of the Father's will, and said, the mystery of the Father's will that is God's will that's now made known by the forming of the body of Christ and the revelation of the mystery to Paul. I said those two other things because last week we went over the verses that talk about the mystery of the Father's will and showed in the context of Ephesians 1, if you start out in verse 3, how that it immediately starts out by acknowledging God the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it talks about why we're blessing him, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So it's God the Father, we get blessed because of our position in Christ. And so the reason I start with verse 3 and acknowledging God the Father is that as you go through here, you see a lot of hims and he's. And it's going back and forth between God the Father and God the Son. Everything is by Jesus Christ, but all of it is according to the will and the purpose of God, God the Father. So that when you get to verse 9, and it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that's the will of God the Father. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So verse 10 declares what that will is. Verse 9 declares that he's made known unto us the mystery of his will. And so you're kind of getting to the capstone of all the different parts of the revelation of the mystery, all different facets of the mystery. This is the ultimate purpose of all things. Do you ever stop and think? And it's a large question, so you can get a lot of answers to it. But I even thought, not only asking the common person, but ask the most predominant minister that you could think of and ask him, what's God's purpose? What is, you know, if you say, what is God's will, then, you know, they might say that, you know, that we would live to his glory. You know, the chief end of man is to glorify God. Okay, well, that's God's purpose for you in life. But what is God's purpose? What is God's overall purpose? What is God doing? I just wonder if they would have an answer. The reason I say that is, I don't know that when I graduated from Bible college, if you would ask me that question, if I had an answer to it. And certainly you ought to know where, you know, everything in life, especially nowadays, everything is down to goal setting. You know, you have a meeting, you set goals, and then you analyze whether you're reaching your goals. Tuesday, they're going to do that to my dad. They're going to set the goal of therapy and, you know, what time length and how we're going to achieve that. And we're going to measure as we go if we're going to reach that goal. So everything is, you focus on the goal and then how to reach that goal. And wouldn't it be amazing to find out that more than half or so many people don't, even in the ministry, don't even know what God's goal is. What's his purpose? What is he accomplishing? And this tells you right here, and there's a mystery part of that will, but that will is stated in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. And so we were talking about that when you gather together, you're gathering two things that are separate. And you're going to take everything, all the things that involve heaven and all the things that involve earth, and you're going to bring them into one, under one headship, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the mystery of the Father's will is that everything would be summed up in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what verse 10 is stating. And there's a mystery aspect to that, which is kind of what we'll get into in just a moment. But after defining the mystery of the Father's will, I want to show it to you as well in Colossians chapter 1 and in Colossians chapter 2. So I think, I don't know, between Sunday school and the 11 o'clock hour, I think we've covered this quite often. Well, when we were talking about verse 23 in our studies about eternal security, we kept coming to Colossians 1. And this passage is a remarkable passage, stated even more clearly, I think, than Ephesians. I said last week that I got a letter where a man is debating the fact that why we keep talking about going to heaven. Bible never talks about going to heaven. Well, he's never read Ephesians. but he's right into the sense that there's not much about heaven except the expression that there is a heaven, that there's angels of heaven, that there is a God of heaven. But as far as human beings going to heaven, there's not anything said about that until you come to Paul's epistles. But when you read Ephesians, like we just read even verse 1, that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, that we who are members of the body of Christ, we're a part of God's purpose for the heavens. And that's what the mystery of the Father's will involves, that heavenly part. But in Colossians, when you talk about the purpose of God in creating all things and centering all things in his Son, it says in verse 12, Colossians 1, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, we're becoming part of something else that was already going on. We're not a part of what was going on, but we're a part of God's purpose to accomplish everything he wants done. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, everything's going to center in his Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That is, everything that's been created, all the creatures that have been made on this earth and have come into this earth, Jesus Christ is before all them, firstborn in the sense that he is before all of that, not born in the sense that he had a birth before Adam and Eve existed. It's that he is above all that created beings. You'll see in the context here. It says, for by him were all things created. See, they're by him, they're all created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. And the reason it talks about visible and invisible, when you talk about heaven and earth, the things of earth are visible. The things of heaven are not visible to us, but all things were created by him, whether they're visible or invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. That's all the governmental structure that, you know, that rules this earth. That same governmental structure exists in the heavens. That's why you talk about principalities, powers, dominion, might in the heavenly places. They have the same. There's a power structure. There's a governmental structure that's in the heavens. That not only were the beings created by Jesus Christ, those places of authority, those governmental authorities, were created by Jesus Christ. And when you get to the end of verse 16, it says all things were created by him. And notice the last part, and for him. The purpose of the Father's will centers in everything being summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the verse 17, and he is before all things, that's where before, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So now we're talking about Jesus Christ in his resurrected form. He is the beginning of something that's going to go on for eternity. He's the beginning, he's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So Jesus Christ is going to be preeminent in the heavens and in the earth. They were created by him. They're created for him. And why is all this going to happen? Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. See, that's identical with what we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 there. The mystery of the Father's will is that Jesus Christ be preeminent in all things. And you realize he's not preeminent in all things. I always tell the story. You know, our doctrine is so clear. People don't understand what the age of grace is, that it interrupted what's about to come. We'll learn about next hour, called the day of the Lord, where Jesus Christ in judgment is going to come back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and set up his kingdom on this earth. That means he's not Lord of Lords and King of Kings right now. So when I'm driving through Nashville and saw the big bulletin board up there, Jesus is Lord of Nashville, I'm thinking, who are they trying to kid? Man, I mean, Nashville might be a nice southern Bible Belt place, but no way is the Lord Jesus Christ Lord of Nashville at all. And there is governmental authorities that will not even acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, because if they did, they wouldn't get reelected to their offices, whether it be local or federal. But anyhow, he's not Lord right now, but he's going to be. And it's the purpose of the Father that in him all fullness dwell, that Jesus Christ be preeminent in all things. So you have the same statement there. That's the mystery of the Father's will. And that's going to be fulfilled. But it could not be fulfilled without the forming of the body of Christ. That's why I said the mystery of the Father's will is not only what he intends to accomplish, but the mystery part about it requires the forming of the body of Christ. That's why in verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And then notice that word, that. Why did he become the head of the church, the body of Christ? That in all things he might have the preeminence. He wasn't going to be preeminent in all things according to Israel's program. According to the prophetic program, he's going to be king of the earth. But God wants Jesus Christ, the fullness, to dwell in him and him to be preeminent in all things, heaven and earth. That's why verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And so the mystery of the Father's will centers around the forming of the body of Christ to make to bring about the fullness of God's purpose for his son. And then I will probably come back to this. I know I've shared it a few times, and it's just always worth going back over because it can go right past you. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, it says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding." Now, when you come to Paul's prison epistles, you can now have the full riches of understanding. You can, like in chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That the word "all" there is a completeness now that's through Paul's revelation that you don't just know in part, you can know completely. And that's why in Ephesians, God has made known to us the mystery of his will. There's a part of things that God has been revealing that wasn't made known that is now made known. And now your hearts can be, be knit together unto all riches of full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything's centered in Christ because everything, that's how God's going to bring everything about. Centered in Christ. But though that threefold statement in verse 2, like I said, I think maybe at the end of our series, I'll come back and we'll look at them again just for those who don't remember what those three mysteries are. But there's three mysteries in verse 2 there. There's the mystery of God. And when you compare that in Revelation chapter 10, I'll probably read it next hour. So when I read it, pay close attention to it. But that the mystery of God is what's been revealed in the Old Testament concerning the nation of Israel. That there was a revelation given to the nation of Israel of what their calling is, what God's purpose is. But when you come to the prophets of the Old Testament, they explain how God's going to accomplish it, because it's going to bring about a judgment. It's all about the tribulation and Jesus Christ coming back. And when God revealed that to the prophets, it's called the mystery as revealed to his servants, the prophets, Amos chapter 3. So the mystery of God is the mystery of how God's going to accomplish Jesus Christ being preeminent in the earth. And then it says, and of the Father. Well, that's the mystery of the Father. Well, that's what we're studying right now. Where in time is the mystery of the Father fulfilled? Well, our key verse is Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, that in the dispensation, the Father's will, according to verse 9, is that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. The mystery of the Father is what's going to take place in the dispensation of the fullness of time when God centers everything in his Son. So the mystery of God is involved with prophecy. The mystery of the Father involves is when time is fulfilled. And then the other one in Colossians 1, chapter 2 and verse 2, when it says, and of Christ. That's the mystery of God, the mystery of the Father, the mystery of Christ. Well, the mystery of Christ, come over to Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you understand, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is the dispensation of the grace of God. So just like the mystery of God is what God has revealed to the prophets of how Jesus Christ is going to be preeminent on the earth, the mystery of Christ is how through the forming of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ will be preeminent in the heavens. And the mystery of the Father is in the dispensation of the fullness of time, everything centered in Christ. That's in the new heaven, new earth, and eternity future. So anyhow, all those point out clearly what we're talking about when we're talking about the mystery of the Father, that we're looking to that dispensation of the fullness of time when God's will be fulfilled. I wrote it out this way. I think there's plenty of ways to do it to try to capture all the thought. But the mystery of the Father's will is for everything in heaven and earth to be centered in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for him to be preeminent, to be head, and all fullness to dwell in him. And all fullness, I still need to capture a good definition of fullness, because fullness is like everything coming into its full purpose, everything God planned, everything God promised, all coming to completion. In the book of Romans, it talks about that if the fall of Israel, the Gentile comes, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. As Israel's cut off today, they're not in their fullness. But their fullness is when that kingdom is set up and they're blessed with everything God ever promised them. There's nothing more they could want. It's everything that God purposed for the nation of Israel. Then Paul says to us, he says, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So Israel has a fullness, but we have a fullness too. Our fullness, we get raptured out after that judgment seat of Christ, placed in those heavenly places, and we come into our fullness. Everything that God purposed and planned and promised us comes to its completion. And then here's the dispensation of the fullness of times, when all the different times come together for its completion, what the purpose for all of time. And it's all going to be centered in Christ. So that word fullness is all centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you keep reading that also in the book of Colossians, that God purposed in Christ that should all fullness should dwell. And certainly there's no fullness outside of Christ. So with that being stated, I keep stating the fact that the mystery part of the Father's will centers in this forming of the body of Christ. And then added to that, the revelation given to Paul, because we wouldn't even know there was a body of Christ. You realize that in the scriptures, you know, that if you just look up the phrase body of Christ, you only find that in Paul's epistles. It's part of the revelation to the Apostle Paul is what God is forming today. an agency. God had an agency through which the earth is going to come into its fullness. But there's no revelation of anything that God was going to do to cleanse the heavens. Job 15:15 says, the heavens are not pure in his sight. And we forget the rebellion took place in heaven, that we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And yet there is no revelation until it comes to Paul, and no agency until Paul reveals who that agency is that is going to fulfill God's will for the heavens. Because God wants Jesus Christ to be preeminent in all things, not just in earth, but in heaven itself. And to do that, there's this forming of the body of Christ. We could look up several verses, but I do want to point out a couple of them so that you understand this. Go to chapter 12 of Genesis. And when I say several, you realize that when God created man, he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then it says, and God gave man dominion over all the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over everything that creepeth upon the earth. Man was given dominion on this earth. And even when you go to Genesis 1:2, after God created the heaven and the earth, it says, and the earth was without form and void. What happens, as soon as you start in the Bible, you got God creating heaven and earth, but immediately you're focused to the earth and man's purpose on the earth. And then, you know, man fails, and that's Genesis 12 here. God singles out Abraham, and he says in verse 3, he says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God calling out of Abraham and creating out of Abraham an agency, the nation of Israel, it's ultimately for the purpose that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And eventually those families become nations. And so when Isaac is told this, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Come over to chapter 13. And it says in verse 15, he says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So God formed this nation of Israel, that's the seed. And in fact, when you read all these promises to Abraham, Paul points out in the book of Galatians that sometimes, like in this, it's not to seeds as of many, Paul says, but as the one. Ultimately, the earth is blessed in thy seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is going to be the seed of Abraham. But there's this multiple seed that becomes the agency through which Jesus Christ came and through which Jesus Christ is going to use to bring his authority on this earth. So there's both the singular seed of Abraham, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, but that doesn't exclude the multiple seed of Abraham, like when he says here that he's going to multiply his seed as the stars of heaven. We're talking about a multiple seed that God's going to use, the multiplied seed of Abraham, the nation of Israel, to bring blessing to this earth. Chapter 22. Verse 16, it says, this is after Abraham was faithful in offering up Isaac, just trusting God to fulfill his promise. It says, and said, this angel of the Lord is speaking, it says, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy, and thy seed shall and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The point is, I keep stressing how everything's centered around the earth. If we have time, there's one verse I'll close with. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Because now we come to David, and we've been through the seed line of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the emphasis that I want you to see here is that through this, through Abraham, through David, comes the Lord Jesus Christ, and through that nation that David is ruling, there's going to be a kingdom established in this earth forever. so that God promises to David in, did I say 2 Samuel, I hope? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel," there's that multiplied seed, "and will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more. And as since the time that I have commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house." Now drop all the way down to verse 16 for the conclusion of this. It says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever, and thy before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David." So God is going to establish the house, the lineage of David, the throne of David, and the kingdom of David forever. That's going to be involving the Lord Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel and the kingdom that's going to be established on the earth in Jerusalem. It's going to be established forever. As you go through the Bible, it's all about God using Israel to make Jesus Christ preeminent in the earth. Now we got to work that into the mystery of the Father's will. Basically here I'm just showing you heaven is left out of this picture until you come to the Apostle Paul in the Revelation, to the Apostle Paul, which is about the formation of the body of Christ. We'll continue next week. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for truth that is right there, pages in the pages for us to see. We thank you, Father, that sometimes in our own blindness, we didn't see it until someone else pointed it out to us. And now we sometimes get a little impatient thinking, why can't everybody see this? But it's our job to point it out and everybody's job to be ready to receive the truth when it's brought to their attention and to believe the truth. Only then can we have the full assurance of understanding. So thank you for our class and pray that the understanding continue in the next hour as we continue to look at things concerning the mystery. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.